Title for those that have taken notes that I encourage you have a Bible or electronic device that you can follow along with me. Amen. How many know the word is important? How many lives have been changed by the word of God? Praise God. Well, today's message is going to be entitled A Celebration and Reminder. Amen. You know, receiving new members is not only a time of celebration for a church family like this, but it can serve as a reminder of some very important things as well for all of us. So as we certainly celebrate welcoming our new members today, and we have, it is also a good time to be reminded. Everybody say reminded. Reminded again of how important discipleship is. In other words, your walk and your relationship with God, but also how important our service, our work, and our service to God is, and how important leadership within the church is. So we're going to talk about all of those three things today. And we find in 2 Peter chapter 1, where I'm going to ask you to turn in just one moment, Peter emphasizes the emphasis, or the importance rather, of remembering, or you could say the repetition of things that we've already learned and know about. You know, one of the dangers that we have in life is think we know it all. Praise God. Look at your neighbor and say, he's talking to you right now. Praise the Lord. Amen. No, I'm just joking, but it is really true that one of the dangers is that because we think that we heard something, we know it. But one of the main differences, and one of the things that happens in people's lives, the difference between the two is there's a big difference between having heard something, knowing something, and actually doing it. And it's a big difference. And it is not the same. Just because we've heard it or know about it doesn't mean we're applying it and doing it. It's the doer of the word that's changed. Amen. And so Peter here emphasizes the importance of remembering, or you could say the repetition of what we've already learned or know. We'll read in chapter 1 of 2 Peter, verses 12 through 15. You can follow along with me this morning. It says, wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you may know them and be established in the present truth. Now, here's what's happening. Peter is about, he's realizing that he's writing to the diaspora, or those that have been dispersed throughout the believers, through the different regions. This letter is going to, he realized that this is probably his last chance that they're going to hear from him, because he's about to be martyred for his faith. But notice what he did. He says, I'm going to put you in remembrance of these things, though you know them and be established in the present truth. So instead of trying to tell them something new, he's reminding them of something they already know about. This is how important it is. And really, the topic about what we're going to be talking about today concerning discipleship, concerning our service to God, and concerning leadership is that same way. And so notice he says, even though I'm going to put you in remembrance of these things, though you may know them, may be established in the present truth. Verse 13, please, it goes on. It said, yea, and I think it meet as long as I'm in this tabernacle. That means his body. To stir you up by putting you in remembrance. So remembering something or saying something again is for the purpose of stirring us up. Not for us, the hearers, to scratch our head and say, when is the pastor ever going to talk about something new? Share something with me that I never heard before. You know, that's called itching ears. And having to know that Peter is giving us a great example. He says, I'm going to stir you up by putting you in remembrance of some things. Verse 14 goes on and says, knowing that surely I'm going to put off this tabernacle, even as the Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. Then last but not least, verse 15, moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able after my decease or my departure to have these things always in remembrance. So he says, I'm going to, even though I've taught it before, you know it and you've been established in these truths, I'm going to remind you again so that you remember the last thing I said is the most important thing I've said. And even though you've heard it before, I'm reminding you of how important it is so you can walk in it. So this is important. Paul echoes this same thing in Philippians chapter 3, verse 1. And we're going to look at it from the Amplified Translation. He says, to keep writing to you over and over of the same thing is not irksome to me, and it is a precaution for your safety. Here is Paul is saying repetition or hearing something repeated is actually for our safety and for your good, or for our good. For repetition, you could say like this. Many of you know this. In our leadership here, we say this saying, repetition is the motor of learning. And it also, make no mistake about it, repetition is the power of discipleship and leadership. So here we find that both Peter and Paul emphasizes the importance of repetition, or remembering things that you've already heard, learned, and know, and actually already established in. So you would think things that you've already established in, you wouldn't need to hear again. But he says, I want to, he did that so that we would never lose them. And that's what I want to do today. Because many of you today, that is, it's a wonderful time as we welcome our new members in here today, not only talk about them, but how we all can be reminded of some things that are so important concerning things we've learned, heard, know, it may be established in concerning discipleship, our service to God, and leadership within the local church. So the first reminder, everybody say reminder. The first reminder I want to share is how this church has a plan to disciple you and your family. We call it, anybody know what it's called? Grow. And actually, the seven steps of grow. Now, I'm going to ask them to put up that slide, and we're going to refer to that one moment. But what we call grow is actually our discipleship and leadership development strategy. It helps us as a church to have an organized plan to make followers of Christ and people becoming more Christ-like. How many know that would be important? It helps us to help you take your next steps in Christ and seeing who you should become in Him. It's an intentional path for spiritual development, and how many know that we need one? We actually need a growth pathway, and we have one for our people. And this is applicable to each and every person. And we help our people take these steps because we work with the end in mind, which we call the seventh step, which is actually to expand and disciple people to Christ. As you look all the way over here, there are seven steps. The seventh step is to expand and disciple the church. We do everything for this. We work with the end in mind. It's called winning and discipling people for Jesus Christ. That's what it's called. So it's not a mystery. So if we want the outcome, what we've done is defined what we want to accomplish, and then we work with the end in mind and track back. We know this, that anyone can win and disciple people to Christ, but here's what I found that the Word of God teaches, and I found by experience, the people that actually do that are going to be disciples and leaders. Those that have been made disciples and true followers of Christ and become leaders in the kingdom of God are those that actually are going to be the ones that will expand and disciple the church, or actually win and disciple people to Christ. So this is who we're endeavoring to make. And in order to endeavor make them, there are six steps leading up to the seventh. Amen. And it's simply church services, special ministries, join the church, start serving on a team, grow training, and lead and mentor a team. Now, here is some significant things here concerning this. We see that there's broken up into two sides. It's about our walk and our relationship. Church services, special ministries. You know, church services we should come to. But here's what you find. When you come to church, there's many times, many of you, we invite you to come early and stay late. And many of you do a really good job in this. You become relational. You talk to others. You meet other people. But you know what? How many people really are on a schedule and they you know, because our services are a little bit longer sometimes because of that preacher, you know. That was a good place to laugh. Amen. I'm not laughing, Pastor Chris. You do go along. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise God. So here's the thing. We find that we need special ministries other times other than church services that people actually connect through relationships around discipleship. In other words, the purpose of a meeting in church service is for discipleship. And what that means is we don't want you just to come to say that you fill the seat. We want to, the reason why coming to church is so important is because we want to teach you how to be the church. Come on. And I'm going to talk a little bit deeper about that in just one moment. But special ministries are things like our life groups, our men's ministry, our women's ministry, in various forms, Stephen ministries, different forms of ministry that's built around relationships through intentional relationships through discipleship. So these are four times that you can connect with smaller groups and people and become to know one another. Amen. And we tell people to come for 6 months, check us out, and if God, pray about it, see if what you're hearing you can hook up with the vision. Amen. And you know what the truth is, if you can't be fed here, then you need to find a church that you can be fed in. But you know what? If you can be fed, you can be led, you can be built up. And I can tell you, then we say, join the church. Because once you join the church, you have the opportunity to start serving on a team. And I can tell you, it makes a difference because it is a way with which, you know, God designed a part of our spiritual development to be through our service to God. Amen. And then we talk about grow training, which we could talk about today. In other words, we have continued an ongoing leadership training for our department heads here, which are approximately somewhere between 38 and 42, somewhere in that neighborhood. Amen. We do ongoing training with them. But a meeting today helps you to understand how important discipleship, service, and leadership is in the church as well. Amen. So the point that I'm making is, on the left-hand side of here, it's going to help you grow in your walk in relationship with God. How many know that's always an ongoing? The other half here is for our work and service. That's no less important. Actually, our work and service, if it's done right, comes out of our walk and our relationship with God. It should come from an overflow. So it's our job on our services to equip you. It's my job to actually, my responsibility, as I told the new members class yesterday, it's my job to teach you to do what you thought it was only my job to do. Because most people, like I did growing up, going to church, thinking it's the pastor's the only one that's supposed to really pray, witness to anybody, amen, really make a difference. As a matter of fact, he's supposed to do everything. I mean, why do I need to bring my Bible? Because we pay him to tell us what's in it. He could have read something off the wall and I would have believed it because I wasn't instructed to bring this book. And so today I'm letting us know the importance of how valuable that this is. It's my job to teach you to do what you only thought it was my job to do. So I'm to teach you how to pray. I'm teach you how to witness. I'm teach you how to serve, how to live for God in your life, in your home, in your family. And that takes time, but it's my job to equip, to teach you to do, or our church, not just me, but the staff and our leaders in the church. My responsibility, our responsibility is to equip the saints of the believers. Now, for time's sake, we don't have time to go through all this today, but write down Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 and 12. Because in the New Members class, we talked explicitly about this and defined how important that is. Now, this is our responsibility to you, but what's your responsibility? Your responsibility is to grow in your walk and your work for God, or in your relationship and your service to God. That is your responsibility. We really cannot do that for you. We train you. We help you. But I'm so glad today to say I see growing people. I see people that have been changed by the Word of God. You should put your hands together for you. And you're going to hear about some of that change in just a moment. The reason why this is important is because I know I'm talking fast. Praise the Lord. I have a lot to say and a little time to say it in. And I'm sharing today. Everybody say, you're sharing today? What does that mean? You're about to find out. Salvation is instant. However, discipleship is a process and ongoing. So in other words, the moment we get saved, we're a child of God. But it doesn't end there. It's just the beginning. And we're to be made disciples, and that means that's a process and that's ongoing. And the good news, this is why the local church is so important. Because the local church, I like to define the local church as a school you go to relearn how to live again, and you don't graduate until you die. So you come and hear things that you would not necessarily want to study yourself. Or if you did, it's easy to turn the Bible or close it and say, well, you know, I don't really want to hear that. Here's what I don't want to hear. I want to hear the fluff. I want to hear the cotton candy. I want to hear all the benefits. But in order to receive all the benefits, sometimes we just got to deal with us. And that stinking attitude and that unlovingness and the... Come on, and it's talking about how we renew our mind to the Word of God. We're big about talking about that here because that's how we live a transformed life. So this local church is important because it's a school you go to relearn how to live again, and you don't graduate till you die, and it'll change every area of life. It'll change you individually. It'll change you at home. It'll change you at work. It'll change you back here. It'll change you inside these four walls. It'll make you sweet. It'll make you salt and light and make you who God called you to be. So God's idea, as you heard earlier today, is both the body of Christ and the local church. Matter of fact, God showed, and I talked about how it's God's, the body of Christ is God's idea, but so is the local church. Here's a great case in point. There's seven letters written in Revelation 2 and 3 to specific local churches, not to mention the other epistles in the New Testament. They show God's specific attention, care for, love, and direction for individual local churches. They apply not only for them, but for us today. Showing how God's intention is not just the body of Christ, but also the church and the local church, where each part fits and works together. The local church is where believers learn to walk with God and are trained and equipped for service both within and without, within the walls and outside. And it all starts at salvation and coming to church. Like I just said, this is why we want people to come to church, because we want to teach you to be the church. Because Jesus said he will build his church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Because it's by knowing your identity, who you are, who God's made you. It's by knowing your inheritance in Christ and by knowing, hallelujah, what you can do because you're in Christ. All these are the things that we want to teach you to do so you can actually walk in not only your identity, receive your inheritance, but exercise your authority. Because we live in a fallen world that needs to know who you are, what you have, and what you can do, and exercise authority over the things that are trying to trap you, including your past. So God is here to help us. And even though it starts at salvation, it continues through discipleship. This is why we all need a local church and the right one. Because we teach you to be the church. And this is why we give you simple ways to flesh this out. When people come, Pastor Doug says it like this. You know, the church is a people, when they first come here, they love it. Praise God, because people are loving and friendly and genuine and all those kind of things. But it's an easy church to come to. It's a harder church to stay at, because at some point you realize that things we preach were designed for us to live. And that's when people get tripped up. Because they say, wait a minute, pastor's really meaning that we're supposed to live this. Yeah, I have to too. But the good news is these benefits are a blessing. And the good news is that by being a doer of the word, not a hearer only, not only can we be blessed, but we can be a blessing. And so the truth is, yes, we're all called. And what that does is like I say, sometimes when we hear the Word of God, how we're taught to not take offense, walk in love. I mean, you know, those kind of things. That there's things that I say sometimes. It's like, you know, you ever had a cat, you rub it the wrong way, that cat wants to jump out of your lap and run. That's what some people do. Ooh, pastor said one thing that I just, you know, I'm dealing with that, but I don't want to, you know, I'm jumping ship. But I always say, just if the cat don't like to be rubbed the wrong way, turn the cat around. Turn it around. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm turning around. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And so here's something that we say when people come. Look, give us 1 year of your life. Now listen to me. Give us 1 year of your life. We tell people this when they come and say, what am I going to do? Come to church. Every time the church doors open, come. That you can come. I realize people got different schedules. People come from long distances. People work. People do all different kinds of stuff. But I say this. If you will come every time the doors open, bring your Bible and something to write with. And diligently take notes. And then go back every week and go back and study those notes and begin to apply them and do them, if you will, in 1 year's time, if you do what I said, and you do that faithfully in faith and faithfully, you won't recognize yourself in a year. You'll look totally different. I see it all the time. Matter of fact, I have people to say, Pastor, you know, you remind us about the 1 year. Give us 1 year of your life. This is my fifth year. This is my 20th year. Mike, how many years has it been for you and Miss Shirley? 26 years. Come on, put your hands together for them and still be in change. I have people say, it's still working, Pastor. Hallelujah. Why? It's important. But we also give you ways to be able to be different, to be a different maker. Because all of us, once we start hearing that we exist to win and disciple people to Christ, that's all of our responsibility. And we don't have to be growed up to do it. The problem is that many times there are things that we have to grow in before we actually begin to live that out the way we should. Not because we have to, but because there's things that need to be moved out of the way and our thinking and our lives that hold us back from being the disciple maker and the soul winner that God wants us to be. So we tell people simple ways like invest and invite. What do you mean invest and invite? In other words, go to work every day. Go to work every day and show people around you that you care. Be relational, relative, and find common ground in people's lives. And then, as you live your life for Christ, the doors will open for you to share about Jesus Christ. Amen. You'll find common ground, and then you'll be able to learn to identify with things that people will say, well, how are you changing? This and that, the other. I'm speeding through this, as you can tell. But what you do is, once you share about what Jesus done for you, a simple way is just simply inviting them to come to a place called this church that your life has been impacted and changed by. Amen. Praise God. And so we learn simple ways as we teach you, we can all share our faith effectively and make a difference. It's called becoming a marketplace minister. How many know that God wants marketplace ministers? Matter of fact, God needs more marketplace ministers than he needs pulpit ministries. It's not that every person don't have a pulpit. Your pulpit just looks a little different than mine. But it's nonetheless important. And it's a place where at work and the places that you go, you don't have to, you know, it's doing these things because the Bible calls us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, ambassadors of Christ, ministers of reconciliation. So I want to show you how this is simple and yet powerful. Because when you understand that you're a marketplace minister, you're not looking for a name, a title, or a position. You just have a heart to share Jesus Christ. You just have a heart to tell people what God has done for you, and he wants to do it for them. And it's powerful because when you share these things, then people are touched and inspired and helped and changed. And it all begins with people just like you. People just like you. You know, Jesus changes everything beginning with you. You know, a lot of times, you know, things people have issues in life, and over the years people come to say, well, really it's my spouse that's the problem and yada, yada, yada. And the truth is that spouse may be the problem. But here's what we always say. We says, well, we're not going to deal with your spouse. We're going to deal with you. And people really don't like that. Well, I'm not the problem. Well, you don't think you're the problem, but here's how we fix the problem is even though you don't think you're the problem, and you may not be, we're gonna work on you. If you focus on you and become so attached to Jesus and realize everything changes, it begins with you. He changes us first. He makes us more sweet, more like Christ in order for you to change your world. And one way he uses is the local church. Not the only way, but one way he uses. In our new members class yesterday, now this person, you're going to say, I have grace, Pastor Chris. Say it with me. I have grace, Pastor Chris. And you know, a lot of times you say, well, you may not, Pastor Chris. I don't know if you have grace or not, but what you're going to do. In yesterday's class, in a new members class, we had a time to hear some people's testimonies. And one particular testimony that we heard will help us all in here today. Because it's not what we've done, it's what we're doing that makes a difference. And Nina, I hate to put you on the spot, but I'm putting you on the spot. Okay? You're well able to do this. I want you to say, now, what you shared with the class at the end, you asked the question, but what you shared, you actually made a comment about how the local church stabilized you. And then you gave a wonderful quote by C.S. Lewis. Could you just stand and, I mean, it would and stand and just let's give her a hand in here today and say what you said yesterday.
That quote was, Christians do not need to be taught nearly as much as they need to be reminded.
Woo! Say that again, sister.
Christians do not need to be taught nearly as much as they need to be reminded.
That's what we're doing today. Okay. Now talk about how the local church was a part in changing your life, how you always drifted until... Go ahead.
Okay, so I was... My mother, a church... I grew up in the church, a wonderful church, until I was 18 or 19, and then I went on the mission field. The bottom line is, whenever I was not in church, it was like I was blowing in the wind, you know, like a ship tossed to and fro, and you lose your orientation gradually, and it's not like I was living in some deep sin or something like that, but you need the local church to stay grounded and rooted in reality, and to stay encouraged, and to walk in the truth, and as long as you're in a local church, if I could tell the younger Nina something, I would say, Nina, listen to me. Always get in a church. It may not be the best one, then find the next one, but stay in church.
Very good. Thank you, Dita. Amen. Put your hands together for her. Awesome. Glory be to God. Great testimony. Amen. So today is a reminder, not just something new. It is for some, but it's not for everybody. Amen. And so one of the things that we learn to teach you over time is what I call the power of your testimony. In other words, in Mark chapter 5, write this down really quick, John chapter 4 and Luke, and Mark chapter 1. I'll say it again, Mark 5, John 4, and Mark 1. We find that Jesus set three different people free, and what he told them, instead of following him, he says, you go back to your family and friends and tell them the great things the Lord have done for thee and have compassion of thee. So our testimony is a reminder of where God has brought us from and what he's done for us and brought us into. So I always like to say this, we train you, because you hear me tell my testimony all the time. Amen. And I tell it for a purpose, because you know why? Because there's people that will live and die and end up, instead of heaven, in hell, because they were just like me. They had their own version of God. They did it their way, like Frank Sinatra, instead of God's way, and didn't know the difference. And are fooled, because without knowing this book, you will always be fooled. Amen. And so the great news is that after growing up in church for 24 years of my life and thought, here I go. But I grew up in church for 24 years of my life and thought, because I did good things and didn't get caught doing bad things. Thought, because I shook the preacher's hand as water baptized as a child. Thought, because I prayed every night and asked God to forgive me, that I was right with God. But in March 30th, 1986, on Easter Sunday morning, I heard a message that I realized I had made my own version of God. I had come to God my way and not God's way. And God's way is only one way, and that's Jesus Christ. And it's not my works. It's not anything that I could do to earn it. It's all by his grace and my faith in Christ. That day I made Jesus Christ the Lord of my life. And like I always say, if you told me I'd be doing today, if you told me then I'd be doing what I'm doing today, 40 years ago, I'd have said, you smoked bad dope last night and you're still messed up. Because this was the farthest thing from my mind. But the point is how God can change your soul and change your life. And God taught me how to help people in the body of Christ, and our church in particular, how to share your testimony. Tell your story, God's story, which is the gospel, and then God gets the glory. Now, we have a perfect example of this in another person here. And Tammy, I'm going to ask you to come. And Tammy, you can come up here, and that's fine if you like. Would you come and would you share? Put your hands together. Many of you know Tammy. She's on staff, but I want her to share her testimony. Come right on in. Just it's on. Yeah.
Okay. Wow. Looks really different up here compared to... All right. So I was going to try and do this without a paper, but I figured I might get a little lost in myself, so I wrote this down, and this is part of my life and testimony, but not all of it, but a quick version. So I grew up in a Christian home. My mom always had us in church. Most of my childhood was here at CFC, and faith was always a part of my life from the beginning. As a young adult, I drifted away from church and from God. And in my 20s, I moved to Florida, and during that time, I became heavily involved in online video games. What started as something fun slowly became something that consumed my life. In fact, I played online games about 15 years. Okay. My marriage during that time was very difficult, and gaming became an escape for me. It was a way to avoid the pain in my personal life and step into a fantasy world where I didn't have to deal with reality. Looking back now, I can see how disconnected I became from people. My kids would sometimes pull a chair beside me just so that they could be close to me while I was playing. I remember one time my daughter fell asleep on the floor next to me while I was gaming, and that memory has stayed with me. Sorry. Okay. I also distanced myself from family, and if I went to gatherings at all, I would usually leave early so that I could go home and get back online. The only people I really interacted with were other gamers. Outside of that world, I honestly didn't enjoy being around people. But in 2008, I rededicated my life to the Lord. I knew that if I was truly going to live for God, something needed to change in my heart. And my mom always taught us that when you ask God for something that aligns with His will, and we believed Him for it, that He would do it. So I prayed a simple prayer. I asked God to give me a heart for people. I asked Him to help me love people the way Christ loves them. That change didn't happen overnight, but little by little, over time, God began transforming my heart. I began caring about people in a way I never had before. I found myself thinking about their eternity and realizing how many people around me are lost. Many times while driving, I would pass accidents and find myself crying in my car, and I would pray for the people that were involved in that accident, asking God to heal them, because if they weren't born again, I wanted them to have another chance to accept Christ as their Savior. God was slowly replacing my indifference with compassion. Then in 2019, another major change happened in my life. I went through a divorce, and during that time, I clearly felt the Lord leading me back home to move back to Virginia and return to CFC. Once I got here, I committed myself to being in church every time the doors were open. One day, Pastor Chris, as he stated earlier, said something in the sermon that stuck with me. He challenged us to give us 1 year of your life. Come to church, take notes, go home and study those notes, and meditate on the scriptures. And in 1 year, you won't recognize yourself. I decided to take that challenge seriously, and he was right. God began doing incredible things in my life. During that time, I met my husband, Walter. And in 2021, I had lost my job that I had for 12 years because I refused to take the vaccination. But even in that moment, I had peace because I knew God would take care of me. I had always been faithful to tithe and trusted that God would be faithful in His promises. And He was. Just 4 months after losing that job, God opened the door for me to begin working here at CFC. Looking back, I can see how God had been changing my life for years, or shaping my life for years. The same person who once avoided people and lived in a virtual world is now someone who genuinely cares about others and wants them to know Jesus. God answered that prayer I prayed years ago. He gave me a heart for people, and he continues to teach me every day what it means to love others the way Christ loves us. Because the truth is, God is always faithful.
Thank you, Tammy. You can take that back. Take that back. Take that back. Thank you. Praise God. Tammy's testimony illustrates how this works and what we've been talking about today. You know, there's a lot of other reminders. Come on, Brother Ryan. There's a lot of other reminders I had that we can remind us about today that are all important. I could do it very quickly, give you homework to look them up. But here's what's important. Here today, what are we personally doing with God? In each and every life, the question is, are you one he has changed? Are you? And if you are, when was the last time that you actually told someone about what he's done for you? This is so important. It's so simple, yet so important. And the reason God had to teach me that was because, like the Holy Spirit said to me, he says, son, your problem is you want to witness, but you're afraid of what to say. But the Holy Spirit said, you always have something to say because you have a testimony. And if you just start there, then everything will work from that place. That's where, from I don't know how many years it's been now, I've taught the power of a testimony. Tell your story, just like Tammy did, just like Nina did. And you take time to quickly, but yet powerfully, because the gospel is the power of God of salvation. In other words, share scripture. Tell your story and tell God's story. The story of God is how God became a man. He walked this earth in the person of Jesus Christ. The second person of the Godhead left heaven and became a man like you and I. Because a man sinned and got us into all this mess, a man was going to have to get us out of this mess, but not just any man, a God man, a man whose blood had been untainted because of sin. This is why the Son of God, the Son of Righteousness, became a man through the virgin birth. And then he lived and walked this earth for approximately 33 years of his life. He went about doing good and healing all that was oppressed of the devil. He forgave, he loved, he healed, he casted out devils. He destroyed the works of the devil, but his intent was not just to do that, which it was, but he says, I come to seek and to save that which was lost and in trouble. So through the eons of times, God saw mankind that was lost, and he was unwilling to do without us being in heaven with him. This is why he came. And he came and he paid the price. Not only did he show what God was like by living a pure and a holy life, destroying the works of the devil, but he died in our place and our stead. And he went to hell for you and I and paid the price and took our place and died for us. And when the claims of justice after 3 days and three nights was satisfied because of our sin, because of our injustice, and the wickedness of our own heart that has separated us and caused spiritual death in our life all the way back from Adam's sin through it all of mankind, that's what he paid for. It was all laid on him, Isaiah 53 tells us. But when the claims of justice was satisfied, he was rose again from the dead. And he rising again from the dead was the first fruit of all creation. In other words, he would be the one that would lead everyone else in faith in him into this newness of life and this resurrection as well. So Christ is not the only one that would be resurrected into a new life. We would through our faith in Jesus Christ. And then he told us to go and tell this message. That for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever will believe on him will not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the story. You tell yours, you tell his, and God will get the glory. Today, I'm reminding us, church, that of the importance of discipleship, our service to God, which many of you are so good at, as well as leadership and how important it is in the heart and mind of God. Oh, I had scriptures to share, but we've run out of time concerning this, so we'll leave it for another time. But the real question is, what are you doing with what God has done for you? Are you sharing your faith? When's the last time you just shared your simple testimony? I say every person should have a 1 to 3 minute testimony that they can share how something that God's done to them, beginning with them coming to Christ. Many of you, God has healed. Take that as a testimony and share what God has done for you and how God wants to do that in their life. But the question is, are you one he has changed? And if you are, then when's the last time that you shared it? But maybe this is the last question that I'll ask today. If you're not one that he has changed, maybe you're here today and you're just simply one that he's not changed. There's never been a time that you made Jesus the Lord of your life. If you died today, you don't know if you'd make heaven your home. Don't be like me that was deceived and thinking heaven was automatically be my home because I was a good person, or in my own estimation, a good person. After all, I had not killed anybody. I had never been in jail. So we have the 101 reasons why we'll make heaven a home, and none of them are maybe what the Bible says. So don't fool yourself or don't be deceived. But understand, you stand at a place today that if you never made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, there are reasons why you haven't. Let me offer a few. Number one, if you haven't, could it be that Satan has blinded your mind in the eyes of your heart, so you cannot see the glorious light of the gospel? That's what God actually tells us in his word in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. He says, if we believe not on the Lord Jesus Christ, then the god of this world system, Satan, have blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the glorious light of the gospel should shine upon them and they receive Christ. Let me offer another reason why people aren't changed or reject Christ as Savior is because they've been lied to about God. Somehow God has been made the villain. Early on in life, people hear things like this at funerals. Well, God needed your loved one in heaven. God needed another flower in heaven. And we somehow attribute to God what the work of Satan is. Because until you understand that Jesus said in John 10:10, the thief only Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I've come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. Evil and wrong come from Satan. Good and great comes from God. But many times we've been lied to about God, that he's our problem and he's not good. Or here's another reason that keeps many people from ever surrendering to Jesus Christ: the hypocrisy of man. They see man make mistakes. Man can and man will disappoint, but Jesus never will. Listen, a lot of times people will say this. They say, I'm not going to go to church because I'm not going to go down there with all those hypocrites. Let me tell you something, honey. I agree that we shouldn't be hypocrites. No one should be, because it takes people away from God. But I'd rather go to church with a few hypocrites than go to hell with all of them. So think about it one moment. I'm not excusing hypocrisy. I'm just saying, don't let that keep you from making the decision for Jesus Christ, because no man can get you in at heaven and no man should keep you from coming to Christ. And then here's the last and example why people don't make that decision. They just don't know how, or they've never heard the genuine gospel. You know, in the in the many years that I've been saved, 40 years, and I've been doing this for 40 years, and I don't win people to Christ because I'm a pastor. I win them because I'm a believer. I'm a Christian. That's what the Bible says we should do. Amen. And I only remember two people in witnessing in the times that I've been pastor of this church that say, I never heard that before. I never heard the gospel. Christ came. Christ showed the who the Father was. Christ died for our sins and He rose from the dead. That's 4 points in the nutshell, the power of the gospel that I shared a few minutes ago. Very rarely people have never heard it, but people have it. Maybe you heard today, you never heard it, but you've heard it today. And it does something in our hearts. It draws us to our answer, and our answer is Jesus Christ. And then on the other hand, on the other side of this, a lot of times people just don't make that decision because they don't know how. When it comes to this point, their mind gets confused, and they get nervous because the devil's putting pressure on you and said, I wish the pastor would just move on and close the service. But no, this is why I'm talking about it. Because God wants you in His kingdom. He wants you in His family. And many times people don't do that because they don't know how. They don't want to be embarrassed. They don't want to feel like I don't know something. But the truth is, you're sum total of what you've been taught, nothing more and nothing less. So today, I'm going to show you how to do it. It's called confessing with your mouth the Lord Jesus. Believe with your heart that God raised Him from the dead and you shall be saved. Romans 10, 9 and 10. And then it says in verse 13 of Romans 10, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. In other words, whoever shall invite Him to be their Lord shall be saved. Not hope so. Not maybe so. There's a lot of people that hope so to be saved. Want to be saved one day. Hope they'll make it to heaven. Let's change it today and let's settle it. If you don't know Him as your Lord and Savior, I'm going to give you that opportunity today.